Api Aldo Abud, she became. Nastevatse, when her calf is lost. Go, a cow. Eva, like. Vatsala, affectionate. Translation. Devahuti's husband had already left home and accepted the renounced order of life. And then her only son, Kapila, left home. Although she knew all the truth of life and death, and although her heart was cleansed of all dirt, she was very much aggrieved at the loss of her son, just as a cow is affected when her calf dies. Purport. A woman whose husband is away from home or has taken the renounced order of life should not be very sorry, because she still has the presence of her husband's representative, her son. It is said in the Vedic scriptures, Admayeva putra jayate. The husband's body is represented by the son. Strictly speaking, a woman is never widowed if she has a grown son. Devahuti was not very much affected while Kapila Muni was there, but upon his departure she was very afflicted. She grieved not because of her worldly relationship with Kardama Muni, but because of her sincere love for the personality of Godhead. The example given here is that Devahuti became just like a cow who has lost her calf. A cow, bereft of her calf, cries day and night. Similarly, Devahuti was aggrieved, and she always cried and requested her friends and relatives, "Please bring my son home so that I may live. Otherwise, I shall die." The intense affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although manifested as affection for one's son, is spiritually beneficial. Attachment for a material son obliges one to remain in material existence, but the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Lord, brings one elevation to the spiritual world in the association of the Lord. Every woman can qualify herself as much as Devahuti, and then can also have the Supreme Godhead as her son. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear as the son of Devahuti, he can also appear as the son of any other woman, provided that woman is qualified. If one gets the Supreme Lord as a son, one can have the benefit of bringing up a nice son in this world, and at the same time get promotion to the spiritual world to become the face-to-face associate of the Personality of Godhead. Om Jnanatimarandasya Gananana Salakya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Siguro Si Yutapada Kamalam Sigurun Vaisnavam Stya Sirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rogunutam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitam Stya He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyacha Sakripa Sindubhivacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So the attachment from a mother for her son is naturally very deep and therefore difficult to give up. Therefore, the arrangement in Vedic culture that at one stage the husband leaves home and that the grown-up son takes care of instructing his mother and caring for his mother is a very natural arrangement and very fitting arrangement. Here, in this situation, it was a little different because Devahuti's son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, naturally, Devahuti felt the greatest separation. Every mother would have felt great separation if her son would have left to the forest. But the separation that Devahuti experienced was not of the same nature. The separation that Devahuti experienced was fully transcendental ecstasy. It was the strongest attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one could imagine. She was deeply absorbed in her relationship with her transcendental son. So the qualification of Devahuti is extraordinary. Srila Prabhupada once stated, he said that everything in this world is under control of God. But the devotee is so elevated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead agrees to become controlled by his devotee. So this is what we're seeing in this pastime of Devahuti, where Kapiladev, the Supreme Lord, agreed to become controlled by Devahuti as her son. And we're seeing in this months of Damodar the very same theme, how Damodar, Lord Damodar, agreed to become tied by Mother Yasoda simply because of her elevated pure nature. Because within her was no interest to somehow or other derive any benefit from the material energy. As long as we desire some benefit, some personal benefit from the material energy, we will be, it will not be able to approach Krishna. It is said because Krishna is fully transcendental. And when part of our consciousness is locked in the material energy, then that part of our consciousness cannot approach Krishna. It is not possible. Then we cannot approach the Supreme Lord. He will remain hidden. Naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. So in this way, life after life, those who somehow or other have come into the association of the Vaishnavas and who have taken up the process of bhakti yoga, life after life, the devotees are harboring some material desire and therefore do not qualify to return back to the spiritual world. It is said that in order to enter into the spiritual sky, one must be free from the slightest tinge of material affection. It is not possible to maintain any material attachment. Therefore, throughout our spiritual life, we must be very careful to simply develop a mood of service. And to become absorbed in more and more devotional service. Because if we allow ourselves to fall prey to the material tendencies of aham bhogi, aham iswara, of being the enjoyer or the lord and master of all that we survey, then we may again become unnecessarily entangled in the material energy. It is said that one who is very qualified, after leaving this body, will take his birth in a universe where Lord Krishna is performing his pastimes. And then, within the pastimes of the Lord, as one of the associates of the Lord, is purified from the last remaining material desire. And then, being completely impeccable and pure, the living entity may enter into the spiritual world. So in this way, from that instruction, we can understand that to enter and to qualify, to become a resident of the spiritual world is not a small thing. On the other hand, we have also references about the extraordinary mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that we also are praying for and hoping for, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will remove our sinful remainders from the heart at the end of our life. And then we also have the prayer of Srila Prabhupada, who said that if the pure devotee of the Lord prays that one may be delivered, then one can be delivered on the strength of the prayer of that pure devotee. So in this way, we are all hoping and praying, and it is a fact that many great and pure devotees have prayed for us, without a doubt. There is no doubt that this is the mercy movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that many great acharyas have appeared within this movement, and that all of these great acharyas have each made the greatest effort for the fallen conditioned souls of this age. We see in the Bhagavatam the description how the sages of Naimisaranya had been performing a 1,000-year sacrifice, but that the result, the only result of that sacrifice was that their faces had become black of the smoke. And they were very insecure, because they were not sure that their mantras were working or not. And that is a fact, that in this age, no other process than the process of chanting the holy name will save us. And that is the essence. And somehow or other, we must take to that. We must put our energy into chanting quality rounds, offenseless rounds, and somehow or other, giving our everything in this. Meanwhile, we are caught up in a material body, which is under the three modes of material nature, and as such, we are being swept along on the waves of material existence, and there is nothing we can do about it. Prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Actually, the three modes of material nature are staging our life, and we are simply going along with it. Therefore, a transcendentalist is only looking at his material life from the perspective of what is favorable for Krishna. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajanam. And he will accept anything that is favorable for going back to Godhead, and nothing else. And that is the only way that he can be significant in this movement. Many people have tried to be significant in the Sankirtan movement, but to no avail. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the description of Vallabha Acharya, who came and who wanted to read his commentary on Bhagavatam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is omniscient, was not very eager to hear. And then Vallabha Acharya kept on pushing and pushing, and finally, after some days, he said, "But I have written a commentary, and it is very interesting. In my commentary, I'm disagreeing with Sridhar Swami." Right? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Anyone who is disagreeing with the Swami," in Bengali, the word Swami is not only used for sannyasi, but also used for a husband. Right? So he said, "Anyone who disagrees with the Swami is a prostitute." So Vallabha Acharya was in the assembly of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it said the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were so effulgent that Vallabha Acharya looked like a glowworm in that assembly. He was, all his brightness was insignificant. It is not possible to artificially be prominent One must do so by being a servant. There is no other way. We have no claim to anything in the Vaishnav community. The only claim we have is to serve. Somehow or other, we have a right to devotional service. And everyone can say that. Whatever the Vaishnavas may ever decide. But devotional service you cannot deny. That you cannot deny. You must give me some service. Please give me some service. And no Vaishnava can deny anyone devotional service. That is the principle. Because every living entity constitutionally has the right to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, every living entity must be engaged in the service of the Lord somehow or other. And that is a Vaishnava's only business, to be the servant of all living entities. Not just to be the servant of the Vaishnava, but to be the servant of all living entities. That doesn't mean that he is the jumping dog in the hands of a prostitute, right? But that means that he is simply giving everyone devotional service. That means servant. And that is our only saving grace, to become part of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur were so strongly speaking about preaching that no Vaishnava before had pushed so much. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had spoken, but Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was pushing very much. All the members of the Gaudiya Math were just pushed to go out and preach in his presence. And Prabhupada also pushed so much. Because it is there. It is there that the mercy is available. It was not just that they had an agenda to fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithivityatse Yatanangaradi Gram, but rather by pushing the devotees out to preach, they transformed the devotees into transcendental personalities. Because that is the way to make spiritual advancement. How to do that takes intelligence. And that must be done according to time, place, and circumstance. Not only the time, place, and circumstance of where we are preaching, but also the time, place, and circumstance of our own predicament in the material nature. So by intelligence, we have to figure it out how to do it. There are so many ways. And we see that devotees are very creative in somehow or other finding ways to spread Krishna consciousness. And this is required. Then we will also come to the transcendental platform, and our attachment, instead of becoming caught up in material relationships, will transfer to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, our attachments will be either in relationship with material personalities or material objects. Right? And such attachment can never benefit anyone. Such attachment will bring suffering to all of us. Suffering to the one who harbors the attachment and suffering to all he's associating with. So the whole world is so full of such suffering due to so much attachment that we must transfer our attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see that Kunti Devi, in one of her prayers, is praying to the Supreme Lord to please sever the ties of family attachment, to cut
these ties of bondage to her sons. Please cut my attachment to my sons. So what kind of mother is this? A very transcendental one who is seeing that my attachment to my sons, which I cannot give up, right? I cannot give up, is interfering with my spiritual life. So we're seeing in Bhagavatam, we're seeing great personalities who were ready to make great sacrifice. And that is what we are called for. We are not called to be in this movement, to be part of this movement. We are called to this movement to make great sacrifice. Now, everyone may be in his own individual situation. And therefore, everyone must go at his own pace. But everyone will find the same challenge in his spiritual life, that he has to make sacrifice. That somehow or other life is coming to a situation where a choice has to be made for Krishna, which is painful. Everyone gets in that situation sooner or later. And this sacrifice has to be made courageously. Yat anujyasina yukta karma granta nibandana. One must cut the knot of karma with the sword of knowledge. That has to be done. So this cutting element is referring to the sacrifice we have to make, whatever that may be. So spiritual life requires that we make such sacrifice in order to become special. This purport describing Devahuti is said that every woman can qualify herself as much as Devahuti, and then also have the Supreme Godhead as her son. So that's a very significant statement. And we can expand. Every living entity can have an intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is not that there are a few rare souls like Devahuti, like Srila Prabhupada, who sometimes come to this world and who are the pure devotees, like Jesus Christ, and that all others simply pray to them, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us, right? But rather, we are meant to ourselves take to that process. It is not that we are merely hankering for the association of a great Vaishnava, that by his association we automatically feel uplifted. Oh, I have no more material desires. No. Rather, the great Vaishnava gives us the process that we must follow ourselves and implement in our own life, and to step by step choose for Krishna and to give up our own material desire. Like yesterday, when I arrived, I was talking about kama esa krodha esa raja guna samutbhava, that this is the situation, that we are affected by the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. It doesn't matter whether you have a striped kurta or whether you have a perfect orange t-shirt or whether you have a sari with flowers or pink socks, right? In any condition of life, are the all-devouring energy, enemy of this world, lust, is attacking us. It's not that we are not attacked by lust. It is this lust that weakens us. It is this lust that makes us stubborn. It is this lust that holds us back from surrendering and makes us foolishly attached again and again to enjoying the material energy in some way or other. And this lust, even if we push it away from our life in the grossest forms, and we spit at the sight of all the degraded activity of people in a city like Amsterdam, then that same lust will come back in a more subtle form and still harass us, and still drag us along, and in the midst of so much detachment
we can still be controlled by the old devouring energy, enemy of this world.
And that we have to recall, that maybe we are not beyond the affliction of this enemy, and that we have to deal with this enemy, and that therefore we have to take action for our protection. And that first action is to become the humble servant of the Vaishnavas. That is the first protection from lust, because indriyano mano buddhir, this lust is situated in the senses. This lust is situated in the mind. This lust is situated within the intelligence. Therefore, as long as we are relying upon our own intelligence, our own mind, and our own senses, no chance. No chance, like a snowball in hell, as they say. Right? No chance. There's no way that we will possibly get out of this entanglement. No matter how learned we are, no matter how austere we are, no matter how renounced we are or not, right? It doesn't matter. It will not save us. But service to the Vaishnavas means that the Vaishnavas will tell us what to do with our life. My God, right? It gets very serious. Because the Vaishnavas, they take control of our life, right? Not just, okay, one serves the Vaishnavas. Would you like a sweet ball, Prabhu? That is not just service to the Vaishnavas. Real service to the Vaishnavas goes beyond the sweet balls, beyond flower petals, beyond garlands. Real service to the Vaishnavas means that the Vaishnavas control our life. That's heavy. That's really intense, right? It means that we have to rely on the intelligence of others. Oh my God, but what if they make a decision that will not be favorable for my enjoyable position in this world? And after all, I have very, very carefully calculated everything in my whole situation. I've thought about it many times, many, many times. And every object in my life, I've placed it exactly in the corner where I want it to be. Now imagine that some outsider who's totally insensitive to my feelings, my needs, my priorities, my thoughts, will just decide about my life. This is my greatest fear. My greatest fear, to surrender to some insensitive person who will not fully make the arrangements to satisfy my needs. And then what will happen to me? Then I will just fall in a vacuum, right? I will just disappear into naught. I will just miss the boat, basically. Yeah. So this is the fear of conditioning. This is the fear of the lusty soul, right? And this lusty fear will haunt us for a long time like a ghost, right? Which will possess us. And sometimes people become so possessed that they become Napoleon. And you have to take him away, okay? Coming to take him away, haha. Coming to take him away, hee-hee. Coming to take him away, right? In a straitjacket, right? The attachment now became so extreme. So, what are we doing? This is the question. Where are we right now, right? We are simply in an arrangement for our purification. This whole life is simply an arrangement for our purification. We have no other goal in our life than to become purified. Right? Everything else is a waste of time. Everything else is losing the most valuable time, right? Because life is very short, and the task to become a pure devotee of the Lord is very great. And it's a long, long road, and so much to do to achieve that. So how can we waste one moment?
Therefore, we play with the most greatest danger. Svalpam asya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. The danger that again we become entangled in the material world. And something in us says, well, I don't care. And that is our maya. That is our foolishness. Something in us doesn't care if we take another birth. It just doesn't care. And that is our stubborn foolishness. And that is why it is said, glorious is that spiritual master who delivers his disciple by pulling him at the hair. Right? Pulling him at the hair. This verse refers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who saved his servant from the prostitutes, right, by dragging him out by the hair, right, against his will. He dragged him out by the hair. Glorious is that spiritual master. Somehow or other, we are such fools that we are not surrendering. Of course, Krishna has ways. Krishna has ways to make us surrender. And that will happen in this material world. We will be beaten by the material energy. Life after life, and maybe this life. And as we are aging, we will gradually realize, why did I waste my life? And many devotees who have left their bodies have made that last statement, that why did I not take Prabhupada's instructions a little more seriously? Why didn't I just take it a little more seriously? Many devotees made these statements in their last days, their last moments. So this is really what this verse is calling for. When Prabhupada is saying that every woman can qualify herself as much as Devahuti, then we know that's what he wants, actually. It's not just... that's what Prabhupada came to the West for. Of course, he knows very well. He knows very well that not to expect that people will become pure devotees. And he knew very well and simply said that if only one person will become a pure devotee, I consider my mission successful, knowing very well that people will not take to it. But still, this is the call. This call is to us. Right? If we read Srimad Bhagavatam and we read these purports, then one should, sometimes it is said, read between the lines. Right? To read between the lines means that we are not just literally reading the text or literally copying what is there in the purport, how many points are there. One can take this purport and break it down in points and make notes in his notebook. Point one, point two, point three, like that. Right? But one should go one step further, and one should also question, what does this mean for my life? What are the consequences for this point in my life? What does it mean? And what should I do with my life after reading this? How will this change my life? And if this Bhagavatam is not changing our life, start reading again, because then we have not read Bhagavatam. Yeah. Then our eyes have read Bhagavatam. Just as it said, the process is sravanam. Sravanam. It is hearing, not listening. Listen. Hearing. Listening means, okay, yes, I heard every sound. I heard every sound. I listened to every sound. But hearing means to register. Means that the message registers. Registers that we understood what was said and that we are acting upon it. That's I have heard. I have listened or I have heard. No, I have heard. So sravanam means one must hear and register and act upon this transcendental knowledge.
That is hearing.
So, if we look at this point, simply that every woman can qualify herself as Matsya's Devahuti, it means that everyone can qualify himself as much as Devahuti or as much as the Parisat devotees of the Lord. Devahuti is a Parisat devotee, an intimate associate of the Lord. She is in Antaranta Bhakti. Antaranga Bhakti means that one has come to the point where one is serving Krishna eternally in his spiritual identity, and one has become an intimate associate of the Supreme Lord, a Jivan Mukta. It is beyond pure devotion. Beyond Sudha Bhakti is Antaranga Bhakti. And it is said that Raghunath Das Goswami was being trained by Swarup Damodar on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Antaranga Seva, in serving in this way. So this is the heritage of our movement. This is the purpose of our movement. And this is the purpose of this purport, that we take it as our mission to become as qualified as Devahuti, so that we also can become one of those extraordinary Vaishnavas who are not only realizing Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, that everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord, but who also know that a Vaishnava can even bring the Lord under his control. And such devotees, that is what this movement is meant to produce. Very patiently, life after life, all right, slowly, slowly approach that goal. And some fruits are ripe now, right? Some devotees this lifetime will be eligible to go back to Godhead. So that has to be us. Some are lucky, they are only young, so they have a long life. So when you're a kid, that's good, because then you have a long life and you have a lot of time to become a pure devotee. But you have to start working on it now. Otherwise, you also waste your time. So Prahlad Maharaj was 5 years old, but he was a devotee, a pure devotee. So you also be pure devotees. And when you're old with a gray beard, then you have to hurry up. Little time left. All right, I'll stop. If there are any questions or comments, I'll try to answer. While chanting japa, how do we interact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? After all, it is stated like that, that the chanting of the holy name is directly associating with the Supreme Lord. Should one display emotions? Should one try to communicate with the Lord by prayer or by talking with the Lord like that? No. The chanting itself is everything. There is no need for anything besides chanting to add flavor or color to the chanting. There is no need for any separate activity to add taste to the chanting. It is no need for creating an atmosphere. There is no need for candlelight. There is no need for bringing tears to our eyes. Simply, Prabhupada says in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, one must move the tongue and both the lips, the upper lip and the lower lip, while chanting. And he said, sometimes people produce a hissing sound, right? He said, yes. He writes in the purport, a hissing sound. He said, but one should very clearly pronounce the name of the Lord. But we know our knowledge of the name is growing and growing. We'll know more and more about Krishna. We know as time is going on and as we're hearing about Krishna, we know how he appears in Anantarupam, in unlimited forms, how he is merciful. We know how he reciprocates with his devotee. And this is the most exciting thing about the Supreme Lord, that he reciprocates. That as we surrender unto Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself to us. For Prahlad, Lord Nrisimhadev came out of the pillar.
Right.
Just showing that he's in every pillar. His father asked, so where is your God now? Where is your Vishnu? He's everywhere. Oh, he's everywhere? So he's in all these pillars. Yes, he's in all these pillars. He's in this one too. Yes, he is in this one too. And there he was. So he's everywhere, but you cannot see because you're not pure. But by chanting, we can become pure and we can see. So therefore, everyone can chant and everyone must chant. And as we are chanting, our awareness of Krishna is growing, and therefore, gradually, our understanding who Krishna is becoming deeper and deeper, and therefore our motivation to chant will become greater and greater. And we will chant year after year, day after day, and we will take a substantial amount of our time, and we will try to think of nothing while we chant but the holy name, and we'll just put our energy and concentrate and try. And when we're sick, somehow or other we'll chant, right? It may be difficult, but we'll keep on chanting. And with time, everything goes in our life. Everything. People that we love, they die right in front of us, right? Goodbye, right? And the funeral, the last goodbye, another one, another dear one has left. Yes, it hurts, right? It will go like that. People that we love will die. Things that we like will disappear and will be taken away. Crush, rip, smash, crash, right? Break, bang, ah, oh, ah, yes, another part of the body will be destroyed. And all this we'll witness it for the rest of our life, right? But one thing will stay, the chanting of the holy name. And as with time, the chanting stays. We will feel more and more comfort from this chanting. And we concentrate on overcoming the 10 offenses against the holy name. And we develop, and we string this on this holy name. We string Trinadapi Sunichena. So it is said. Yeah. We string this verse on the holy name. I just read it. So it's not the other way around, that the holy name is strung on Trinadapi Sunichena. It says Trinadapi Sunichena strung on the chanting of the holy name. So it's that humility that must come from this chanting so that we enter into this chanting. The chanting will bring us dilemmas, will bring us to this point of sacrifice. Because for chanting, we have to be pure. It's not just that the chanting will make us pure, but the conditions for chanting are also to be pure, because the conditions are to avoid the 10 offenses. And that is purity to the max. Yeah. So these are the main things, that we must avoid these 10 offenses. We must chant clearly. We must chant always. And we must cultivate humility. And then we wait for Krishna to dance on our tongue one day, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to reveal himself. We cannot force the spiritual world. We cannot force a spiritual experience by trying to talk to Krishna. Krishna, are you hear me? Do you hear me? Hear me, hear me, hear me. You may cry forever into empty space, 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 but there will be no answer, no answer, no answer. Talking to Krishna. But when Krishna talks to you,
Then you can talk back. Then we see devotees like Bamsidas Babaji who are constantly talking with Krishna. Because Krishna talks to him. But not we talk to Krishna. Oh, Krishna. I feel so moved when I chant your holy name. Okay. Start reading the Bhagavad Gita. The remedy for that is read the Bhagavad Gita for 1 year and nothing else. Again and again. Only Bhagavad Gita. That's the remedy. Any other question? Yes.
Sadhana Siddha.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, the Sadhana Siddha, or he who attains perfection through perfectly performing the prescribed duties that are given in the scriptures in this age of Kali, where the residents are Manda Sumanda Matiyo Mandabhagya and Upadruta, where the residents are lazy, less intelligent, short-lived, and always agitated by lusty desires. Very difficult to perfectly perform sadhana. So we need all the mercy of the acharyas as well. That is a fact. Yes. So the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is a combination of sadhana and kripa. It's not just kripa either. It's not just, oh dear Lord, oh Lord, please save me, Lord. I'm saved. I accepted the Lord in my heart. That's not our movement. That's not far. But and then you get this mood from, how are you, Avaduta? Are you well? Be seated. Right? A loving tone, which has nothing to do with love. So, sadhana siddha must be there. That Srila Prabhupada stressed very, very much. But in the end, we know that without kripa, we're never gonna get the goal. And there is already kripa before we start. And there will be more kripa as we go along. Parvita Prabhu.
Yeah. Hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. May manifest himself to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, yes. That's a fact. Yeah, I was not speaking against that element. I was trying to bring that in, that it become that we can become to know Krishna more, etc. But not that then we have to go as far as trying to speak to Krishna. We pray to Krishna. We pray to Krishna for mercy, but not. That's not enough. We can sit the whole day here in front of the deities, be merciful unto me, oh, be merciful, your most merciful incarnation. Most merciful incarnation. I mean, practice the prayers, etc. But if we don't do service, then we will not make it. We have to do the sadhana. We have to do active service. Is important. How much? That's that one. Mm-hmm. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada explains that that according to the state of one's conditioning, wherever one's consciousness is, right, one should engage on that level. So if the consciousness is in the gross material energy, right, then one should use the gross material energy in service of Krishna. If the consciousness is is very withdrawn from that, if the consciousness is in the mind, right, then one can actually peacefully serve Krishna in the mental, in the mind, and that would be sufficient. It, not that that's a problem, but it could be sufficient. Yeah. And if a person is completely on the spiritual platform, then anything he does is perfect. Right? Then he can chant like Haridas Thakur, or he can enter into samadhi and give up all external activity and just meditate on the Lord. Then just his meditation on the Lord is the is service. And he may also come into the world and act and use the material energy. In all situations, he's always fully remembering Krishna, as Prabhupada showed, who was the jet age Parivrajika Acharya, and yet completely so intimate with Krishna all the time. But for most of us, we are very much conditioned by the gross material energy, and we have all gross material desires, and therefore it is very important that we engage that gross material energy in the service of Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada said that he created so much engagement for us, right? That was so that we could become purified and that we need to do all these things. So we're not so, the first mistake is when we start thinking we're so elevated, right? And that we don't need to purify ourselves and we're not affected. We should just understand we are very grossly affected, and we need to engage the gross material energy in the service of the Lord. And that's the and then there's the temple, yeah. And once there is a temple, and once there is a movement, right, then that is an offering to Krishna. And then one cannot ignore that anymore, right? Then one has the duty to maintain that for Krishna. Devotional service, it's not that it is necessary to construct big temples for Krishna, right? That is not necessary. One can also worship Krishna within. But once one has created a big temple, then one has the then one is obliged to maintain. So even if one does not have actually the inclination to deal with the material energy like that, still one has to do to maintain. Right. So Srila Prabhupada saw the need to create temples and so on. So our duty is to maintain. And in that is all perfection. Yeah. So it has to be maintained at a standard that is suitable for the Supreme Lord. So we cannot withdraw ourselves so much from the temples and just go into our own bhajan, right? Which is what is happening around the world. Yeah. Some GBCs, very intelligent men, right, were making this statement, said we have to start really collectively as devotees, we have to start contemplating whether we want to have temples. He said, because, he said, if we want to have temples, then we'll have to make the endeavor to look after them. And otherwise, we're not going to have any. Because the tendency now is to go into one's own bhajan. Right? And it's not that it's not good to go in one's own bhajan, but the temple is to be maintained because it's been offered to Krishna. It's his property. And one can never just, in the name of bhajan, ignore Krishna's property. What's the use of your, what does Krishna care about your bhajan, right? If you let his property rot, right? And then again, how much can we take? We cannot take more than we can handle. So there is a limit, you know? You cannot be a firefighter and put out every fire. One day you're just going to die, right? How many heroes die trying to save the society? Right? So you have to find a balance between what you can do and between your own bhajan, we need it, and between our contribution to the society. Right? We cannot just sacrifice ourselves on the altar of saving ISKCON.
We have to first save ourselves, but then we have a duty to save ISKCON and all that. Anyway, these are some of the dynamics that I can think of. Yes, yes, yes. It is quite nice. Yeah. Sure, the Krishna Balaram temple. When a woman has no grown-up son and her husband leaves, then she should take shelter of Krishna. That's then her only resolve, right? That's a higher principle. Higher than taking shelter of the son, she takes shelter of Krishna. She takes shelter of the Vaishnavas. Krishna will, taking shelter of Krishna will provide her with the aspect of of transcendental knowledge, and and joy in her heart, and taking shelter of the Vaishnavas will safeguard her from spiritually deviating and falling prey to contamination in the heart. Anyone who is not taking shelter of the Vaishnavas, man or woman, will fall prey to deviation. See? That's why Prabhupada wanted, or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wanted, governing body, always collective Vaishnavas. Both in organization, both in one's own spiritual life. Because without, one will fall prey to contamination, without a doubt. So therefore, she takes shelter of Krishna and of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas will protect her. The size of the universe, was the universe wasn't it, what was it, 100 times the lotus flower that Lord Brahma seated on, or something like that? I think it's 100 times. It's right there in the fifth canto, in how many yojanas it is, you know. The number is just paka. He may remember it because he's reading the cosmography from... Well, it's not so big. It's not so big. Whereas the scientists, they think it's bigger every day. And on yesterday, I read an article about that. And it says now they think that there are 12 segments in the universe which act like mirrors. Right? And that actually it's all mirror. It's like there's a whole new theory out. It's a mirror palace. Yeah. And the Big Bang theory doesn't work anymore because they have found stars that have become too faint. The light has become faint too quick. So by a certain calculation of Big Bang, they should go with a certain speed and they should get faint slowly, slowly, right? With a certain speed. And it goes much quicker. So instead of it's slowing down, it's going quicker. It's accelerating. So now they're totally bewildered about that. This is clear evidence that the Big Bang theory stinks and doesn't work. And now they have a mirror theory. And they say when you go from one segment into another,
then suddenly you are light years away.
And how it's possible, they don't know, but you just, you know, you just pass a certain border and pff, you're light years away.
And there's a big debate about it.
Yeah. And the number, you know, the exact number from the Bhagavatam, it's not so big. Not so big. It's measurable in yojana, so it's like, you know.
I thought it was 100 kilometers of Brahma's lotus flower, if I remember. 100 kilometers of that measurement. Or 100 yojanas of that measurement. Kilometers yojana. Yeah, like that. You can look it up. Yes. Sacrifice, not austerity. Sacrifice, I make it.
There, to cooperate between ourselves, we should communicate also, I mean, to you.
Sometimes we should communicate and sometimes we should shut up. You know. What? Mother goodness, Kijai. Okay. Yes. Okay, but we are not in the mode of goodness. Sometimes we're in the mode of goodness, and sometimes we're in the mode of passion, and sometimes we're in the mode of ignorance. This is the problem. So therefore we must somehow or other... Therefore there is Vaishnava etiquette to save us from... And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted that it was part of his movement, and we must follow that. Seniority amongst Vaishnavas must be recognized. And it's like, it's not only that during darshan, you know, like we all stand like behind each other and this, that. No, it's at all times, 24 hours a day. Seniority is to be recognized in Vaishnav dealings because it helps to improve the communication of the Vaishnavas. So communication of the Vaishnavas is not a modern psychology thing where just, you know, let's clear the air and let's, you know, let's just open our hearts, you know. I mean, I think you are a jerk, Prabhu. No. No, that doesn't work. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to get at you or at anybody in particular. I'm just saying all of us have difficulty with this Vaishnava etiquette because it's so different from our conditioning, you know? Like here we are all from different countries and different cities and different places and everyone has his own way of being stubborn, right? Like, and his own way of being rude, in his own way, and this is just how we are in this age. We are stubborn, we are rude, we are proud, you know, and we think, well, that's normal, that's me, you know, that's my right, I have my rights. But actually, we need Vaishnava etiquette in our temples, in all of our temples. Every single temple is moving. We need more Vaishnava etiquette. And where there's more Vaishnava etiquette, we get a Vaikuntha atmosphere.
Yes, but also those who are juniors, they also expect from seniors that they show Vaishnava etiquette. And if this Vaishnava etiquette is not there, as I remember, I always had full faith in my father because he never misused me.
Yes.
And I could depend on him completely.
What did Srila Prabhupada say? But what did Srila Prabhupada say? What did Srila Prabhupada say? What did he say? He said that when your temple president is giving you an instruction, and it's not right, if you follow it, you are right. You are still right. Of course, mind you, if the instruction is outright against Krishna consciousness, then one must reject
So if the authority is either addicted to sinful activity or is its Isvara Bhramta, has become envious of the Supreme Lord, right? If he is prolonged addicted to sinful activities, or is Isvara Bhramta envious of the Supreme Lord, he must be rejected on the spot, but under no other circumstance must Vaishnava etiquette be superseded. Even if the senior Vaishnava is lacking, still he must be given due respect. Now, he may not be given the same. It doesn't mean you have to give him your full heart. Your full heart you give to those senior Vaishnavas that you have full faith in. But if there's a Vaishnava who is senior and yet he is lacking, you must still be respectful. That is actually the intricacy of Vaishnava etiquette. It's difficult for all of us. I mean, I also find that difficult, but I'm trying to really do that. Yeah. I'm trying to live by what I say. Yeah, I try to live by that. Sometimes a little difficult, but I am trying to do.
And I think about sometimes I find difficult to communicate about very practical things, because somehow so many contaminations there. Also, on my side, I don't say that but it seems to me that on practical level, somehow we should try to make communication more easy, not to.
Prabhupada was open to that. He arranged for Ista Gosti for that purpose, but it must be still done in the right etiquette. And some things you just have to let them go. You know, some things. I have some ideas. I'll tell you that. I have some ideas about what should be done, how ISKCON could be improved. And people are not very interested. You know? They don't want to hear it. I know. So I'm not talking about them. I mean, the big senior devotee, they're not waiting for Kadamba Kanana Swami to come and tell them how to run ISKCON. You know? I have ideas, but they're not waiting for me to tell them. And I know that now is not the time.
But why is
it is. Because this is life, you know, and we have to accept that. And when we are junior, then we are junior. Like I'm junior, right? In many ways, I'm junior. Amongst leaders in ISKCON, I'm a junior leader amongst ISKCON leaders. I may have a senior position. I have a senior position, but I am junior. Right? So I always have to remember this. Okay, I have senior position. Very good. But I am junior. Because all the other ones who are in the senior position that I'm in are senior to me, right? So this is I'm a junior devotee in a senior position. That's actually what, so I have to remember that. So therefore I have to befittingly not offer my opinions all the time or my idea to my seniors, but rather I should approach the seniors and say, well, what is your idea? What do you think? And when the opportunity arises, I will drop a little bit of an opinion, you know, but not uncalled for, you know. Now listen, you know, like, I mean, I think that this is necessary. It's like, I think, otherwise ISKCON's going to hell. No, I cannot do, because I'm just a junior devotee in a senior position. Then there are other devotees, there are junior devotees in a junior position. Well, if you're a junior devotee in a junior position, my God, you know, then what to do? Then you just empty the garbage cans and things like that. Yes. Not natural for me. I guess, you know, we have to, we could, there can be training, And there should be training in the temple. Okay? There should be training in the temple. And temples where there is training, we see from the beginning, that helps. And then one has to embrace it himself. Yeah? One has to somewhere along the line say, well, you know, I have to apply this. This is... one should always remember, amongst Vaishnavas, there is no such thing as we are all equal, Prabhu. No. Yeah, on the spirit, on the spirit soul level, we are all equal, but we're not all in equal position. No. And one must always look at seniority. It's just the way it works. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed it. So, training should be there. It should be discussed. It should be brought out more, yeah, so that devotees can, we can have courses, we should have this in the temple. Anyway, I think it's 9:25, and I think it's a great time to go to The Hague to get my visa for India. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.